Hey everyone, and welcome to this edition of Risky Business Snake Oilers. Snake Oilers is one of the wholly sponsored podcasts we do over here at risky.biz. The idea is any company that wants to come and spend 10 minutes pitching its tech to the Risky Business audience can do that. And we've got two vendors pitching their wares in this edition of Snake Oilers. Part two will feature three vendors, but there are just two in this part one. So first up, we're going to talk to Rapid7 about its vulnerability scanning and management software. They've made some changes to that software, and they've got a couple more changes coming. This is real bread and butter InfoSec stuff, and I'll preview that segment properly in a minute. After that, we're going to hear from the team at IT Pro TV. They're a video-based online training site and sort of pitching themselves as like a Netflix, but for online training. Instead of just really dry instructor-led training, they're trying to make it a little bit more fun, half-hour training videos with two instructors on all sorts of topics. They have an awful lot of content there. And they're keen to get IT and security departments to sign up for multi-seat accounts or team accounts. And you know what? The online training video sector is just booming right now. And IT Pro TV's co-founder and so-called edutainer, Don Pezzette, will be along to walk through all of that in a little bit. But first up, of course, we are chatting to Rapid7, and this time we're talking about their vulnerability management software. You know it as Nexpose, but these days it's Insight VM. Now, a few things here. First of all, Rapid7 is going through the process of consolidating a lot of its software into a single agent. And that means if you're an Insight IDR customer, and we had a chat about Insight IDR, I think it was in the last Snake Oilers, you can literally just pointy-click your way to rolling out Insight VM without having to really do much. So I think that's really awesome. So that's obviously a part of the pitch we're talking about here. Likewise, if you use Insight VM, you can do a one-click IDR deployment. And that alone is worth mentioning, just in case you are using one of those products already. You know, personally, I think combining these agents is a spectacularly savvy business decision on Rapid7's part. But yeah, our first guest this week is Justin Buchanan of Rapid7, and he's here to sell you on an imminent feature Rapid7 is rolling out to its vulnerability management software, which is automatic patching, basically, that instrumentation component. Now, of course, when you think of the vuln management space, three names come to mind: Qualys, Tenable, and of course, Rapid7 Nexpose. And I started off by asking Justin the obvious question: why choose Rapid7? Here's what he had to say.
The big thing is automation. And that's something that we're going to see being added to Insight VM in the near future. And we have a lot of really exciting things in the pipeline that we're starting to talk about a little bit now that are really going to separate us from the main competitors in this space.
Now, when you say automation, I'm going to go ahead and assume that you mean patching. So basically detecting, you know, known vulnerabilities through the agent and then patching those bugs. Is that right?
It is. So patching is a piece of it. We are definitely the leader when it comes to the way that we handle this stuff. And we're going to help you gather all the vulnerabilities with an agent, but we'll also help you do it with a scan engine. We'll assess your containers. We're going to get it from a whole bunch of different sources. Then we're going to apply our unique analytics to help you prioritize what to work on. And then once you've decided what you need to actually remediate, we're going to help you break down that silo that exists between you and your IT team or your development team to get that done. And when it comes to that process of remediation, this is where the automation comes in. So one of the key things is automation-assisted patching. So we'll integrate with IBM BigFix, Microsoft SECM. And when it comes time to do that process, you'll go through your internal change control process, you'll talk with the IT team, and then you can build a workflow that can automate the boring stuff and pull humans in at the right time to make decisions, but ultimately drive that vulnerability to remediation with the tool that you're using.
Now, that's an interesting idea, right? Because it is a sad state of affairs, but it's true that in many organizations, you know, doing the vuln scanning, you know, that's the security team, but actually doing any sort of remediation on the endpoints is maybe the desktop team, right? Or the operations team. And that, you know, that can be a bit of a problem in some places.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the past, where we have seen vulnerability management programs fall flat is exactly that point right there when it comes time to remediate. Because to your point, Patrick, that's when responsibility shifts. That's when it shifts from the person in security who identified the vulnerability to someone IT or someone in development who needs to fix it. And those teams have different goals. They have different objections. They're thinking about different things. So it's been very challenging to kind of communicate the why we need to do this, why we need to do this now, and how to do this, which is why one of the things that Insight BM does is helps these teams collaborate with each other.
Well, it gives them a point of collaboration, right? Like, you know, you've got a tool that sort of spans both of those disciplines there, and, you know, it gives people a reason to work together, I guess.
It does, yeah. So one of the things that we've learned is there's been a lot of tension in the past because security teams have tried to get their counterparts to change the way that they do things in order to drive this remediation. And human nature dictates that you're going to revolt against that. So what we've done in Insight BM is we've integrated with the tools that these disparate teams use. So we integrate with things like ServiceNow for IT and Jira for developers, and we'll pass the vulnerability information that we discover to those tools. We'll include why it matters, the potential impact to the business, and suggested remediation steps.
Yeah, no, I mean, that integration on the dev side is interesting too, right? Because, you know, you've got your desktops on your operations side, but I guess what you're saying is you might spot something funny in a container and then you flag that in Jira for the dev team. That's cool.
Yeah, containers is a really great one, because the thing that's interesting about containers is that is one of the pieces of technology that spans all three groups, right? You're dealing with IT and development and security when you're dealing with containers, which is why we also have a lot of container options. We can assess the images when they're in registries. We can assess, we can use our Jenkins plugin to assess during a build, because that one is especially one of those things that requires everybody to come together.
Now, I'm particularly interested in the, you know, the assisted automated patching, right? And particularly in your choice, I mean, SCCM, right? That's a no-brainer. I'm curious why the other software you support is BigFix, because I wasn't sure what the actual market penetration of BigFix is these days, because, you know, IBM bought them and it kind of went quiet.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure about their overall penetration, but the reason why we picked IBM BigFix is because when we were talking to our customers about what their needs are, that was the one that bubbled up. So it may not be across the industry, but in the microcosm that is the Rapid7 customer base, that's the one that we heard, so that's the one that we pursued first.
Well, I'm glad IBM didn't make them completely useless, because I was always actually quite a fan of BigFix.
We do have a couple other types of automation as well, beyond just the automation-assisted patching. The next one is automated containment, and this is really cool. And
oh, I think so is this like, because, you know, this is, I'm noticing a big trend across a lot of vendors, you know, even people who make network appliances now, they detect something funny and they sort of shunt, you know, they move to isolate that asset, right? If it's, if it's risky. Are you talking about similar sort of thing?
That's exactly what it is. So the idea being that you've identified an asset that's vulnerable, right? And you're going to work with your IT team to drive that remediation. But maybe the IT team says, we can patch that, but we're not going to be able to patch that for 90 days. Now, you don't want to leave that vulnerable asset exposed, you know, being a source of risk for your organization for those 90 days. So you're going to put in temporary compensating controls by integrating with your things like your network access control boxes, your NACs, and your firewalls. We're going to be able to automate the process of creating rules in those systems in order to restrict the network flow to this vulnerable asset.
Yeah, so you might just say this person gets web and email and that's about it. Drop them from the file shares and you know, other internal assets, right?
Right. We're also going to see an integration with Carbon Black, where we can leverage the power of their agent and all of its associated abilities in an automated fashion, depending on what we see in Insight VM.
That's interesting, because you and Carbon Black are kind of competitors on the IDR front, right?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, there is some overlap there. We do partner closely with Carbon Black, so it's not completely out of the blue that we're working together. Insight IDR is more focused on being a SIM, and they're not necessarily playing in that space.
One thing that Rapid7's been doing is spending a lot of time working on making all of its various product lines play nicely together, right? And you're consolidating everything under the Insight branding. So you've got Insight VM, Insight IDR and whatnot. Now, we did meet up in Las Vegas to sort of have a pre-discussion for this chat, and you did tell me something interesting there, which is that your IDR agent, your incident detection and response agent, and this agent, they're one and the same, right? So this is like a multi-purpose agent, right?
Yeah, yes. So as I mentioned, when you use our Insight IDR product, the agent is very important to its success because it's powered very largely by user behavior analytics. And one of the major ways that we capture those user behavior analytics is by monitoring the endpoints. Because these tools, Insight IDR and Insight VM, are both on the same platform, they're both leveraging the same unified Insight agent. So if you have Insight IDR deployed in your organization and you have it out to all of your endpoints, you can then log into our platform, click a little button, and start a free trial of Insight VM, and it can automatically start pulling vulnerability data from those endpoints without the need for any additional deployment.
I mean, I'd imagine, like, how long has that agent been sort of integrated like that? Because I could just see the business case for it from a Rapid7 point of view, which is like, hey, if we roll these agents into one, the cross-selling opportunities are, you know, are huge. I mean, it just seems like, yeah, a completely logical thing to do. Is that sort of why you decided to do that initially?
Yes, that is exactly why we drove to build this platform. I think the unified Insight agent is one manifestation of that. In general, it's the principle of we want to make it so that our customers need to deploy as little infrastructure as possible and learn as few interfaces as possible. So we're striving towards a point where if we can share any kinds of components between tools, that's what we're after, right? So yeah. I think in the future, we'll see shared reporting across the tools as an example, so that you only have to learn one reporting system for all of your security information. But the agent is certainly the first manifestation of that dream to make it as simple as possible for our customers.
Are there many of your customers who are just using one or the other, or do they typically pick up both?
We're seeing the two products sold together very frequently, but we certainly have a lot of customers that are exclusively vulnerability management customers. As you mentioned before, Nexpose is a huge part of our heritage, a product offering that we're very proud of. And Insight VM is the next evolution of that. So as people update from Nexpose to Insight VM, we're seeing a large customer base there. So there's
plenty. Look, it's smart business, man. It is smart business that you can then go to all of your vulnerability management customers and say, hey, if you want to roll out IDR, all you need to do is buy a license. Like, that is pretty schmicko.
Yeah. And the thing that's really great is you don't need to call us to try it. So if you already have one of these tools, or actually if you have neither of these tools, you can go to the website, you can set a free trial, you can set this up yourself and see. And then when you're ready to talk to us, or if you prefer to talk to us and have us walk you through it, we're here. But this stuff is so simple to use that we've made it extremely accessible because we see a really high success rate with people just going for it because it's not the complicated stuff we're used to. In most cases, the competitors that we're coming up against in vulnerability management, in application security, in SIM are point solutions.
Yeah.
So by being the company where you can have one relationship, you can have one technology, you can have it all in a unified space is really a game changer for us.
All right. Well, Justin Buchanan, thank you very much for joining us on Snake Oilers to walk through Insight VM and why you feel it's a better option than its two major competitors. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes. Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate it.
That was Justin Buchanan of Rapid7 there with his best pitch for Insight VM. Big thanks to him for that. And also to Rapid7 for being the foundation sponsor of Snake Oilers throughout 2018. Now, if you're keen to do a free trial of Insight VM, you can hit the link in the show notes. Most of the companies who participate in these Snake Oilers segments use special URLs for tracking purposes. So do just head on over to the post for this podcast on risky.biz and hit the link at the bottom of the post. Okay, our second and final sponsor for this edition of Snake Oilers is IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV is an online training company pitching itself as a sort of Netflix for training content. They host practice exams as well, and their whole approach is to try to be entertaining. As you'll hear, they offer training around various certifications, but also around various tools and disciplines. Our guest for this segment is IT Pro TV co-founder Don Pezet, and he's got a couple of surprising things to say too. Like, for example, that a lot of the most popular stuff on their platform as far as security is concerned is in some really dry topic areas like how to write a security policy. Anyway, IT Pro TV sponsored a segment on Snake Oilers because they want you all to know that they do multi-seat subscriptions for organizations, team subscriptions. And, you know, as they say, for a lot of organizations, they're going to prefer to train up their people this way as opposed to sending them out for things like SANS courses. Anyway, here is Don Pezet, co-founder of IT Pro TV. He is also a so-called edutainer who clearly really enjoys what he does for a living quite a lot. Here he is.
Absolutely. You know, when we started the business, we were trying to create a training product that was what we wish we had when we were studying. And so we really kind of focused it on individual people. And we were surprised to find within about 3 years that a lot of businesses were signing up because we would help individuals get certified. They would go and go to work for an organization, and then they would kind of take that along with them and say, we should get this for the whole team to help train them. So we started seeing this big push that we hadn't initially anticipated. And so we've reached into that space and we've actually been fairly successful with it.
Now, it's not just security content that you publish, is it? Like, can you give us a bit of a rundown of what it is, what sort of training courses we'd find on IT Pro TV?
Sure. We kind of compare it to Netflix, you know, where you subscribe and you get access to the whole library. We have a huge collection of system administration training. So certifications from vendors like Microsoft, Cisco, CompTIA. You'll find all the major certifications in there. On the security side, we have certifications from ISC Squared, ISACA, some EC Council type content. So a lot of great certifications. Some of the bigger names are things like CISSP. But our goal is, we know that IT is evolving and changing so rapidly and that nobody really gets that chance to specialize in a single task like they used to. So we want people to have access to everything, and they might try and specialize in one area, but when they need that extra set of knowledge, it's all right there in the library. They can jump over and check it out.
It's funny, right? Because I browsed through some of your content earlier and I noticed there was a Metasploit configuration guide that was 12 hours long. Like, I'm guessing they go into a bit more than configuration in that one.
Yeah, well, you know, a tool like Metasploit is really, really big. And if you've ever read the help documentation for it, it's kind of hard to pick up. So we'll take one of our edutainers and they'll take a technical topic and try and turn it into something that's broken up into 30-minute episodes like a television show and make it a little more enjoyable as you go through and you learn the different aspects. And maybe you watch the whole 12-hour. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just grab two or three episodes that cover the topics that you need. But the whole goal is to make it a little less painful than the old voice over a PowerPoint or a professor lecturing. You know, we try and create it more like a television show. We have two people talking about the topic. And sometimes that can make it take a little bit longer. But man, it's so nice to be able to just relax and cover the topic the way that we would normally cover, like two people talking around a water cooler. And it makes it a lot easier to learn.
Yeah. I mean, some of these training videos do put you to sleep pretty quick, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I've been through it. If you've been to a college or university, you know that traditional training can be really boring. I mean, there's a few professors out there. There's a few instructors that are the exception to the rule where they have a great personality and bring that through into their classroom. Well, we try and do that online. We try and bring our personality in and we don't do a whole lot of editing if we can avoid it. If I make a mistake or just have kind of a problem, well, problems happen in real life. So we solve the problem, we work through it, it becomes a part of our content. It just makes things a lot more human.
So what sort of proportion of your content is security related? Did you start off doing security stuff or is that a more recent trend? Like, can you tell us about that history there?
So in the beginning, we were tackling the core certifications, things like the CompTIA A+, NetPlus, Security+, the Cisco CCNA and CCNP, and the Microsoft MCSA and MCSE. Those are ones that in the system administration space are really popular. Well, Security+ turned out to be incredibly popular for us. A lot of people were really excited about learning. I mean, that's just security fundamentals. Well, after that, we started hearing from people that wanted more advanced security training. And the theme that we kept hearing was, man, there's a lot of sites that teach fundamentals and theory, but there's not a whole lot of organizations that teach you how to actually get out there and do things. There's companies like SANS that do a great job with it. If you go to their classroom training or their online training, but it's very expensive. So there's not really a low cost option to be able to jump in and learn a lot of that. So that's when we started branching out and we said, all right, well, there's several certifications that are out there that are really useful, like CEH or CISSP. That's another big one that a lot of people ask for. But we've also branched out into doing what we call our tech skills content, where it's not tied to a certification. Yeah. Sometimes you just want to learn Kali Linux. You don't need a certification. You just want to know how to use the tool.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So of the corporate buyers who are buying multiple seats specifically for security content, do you have any idea about what content types, like which modules are most popular with those bulk buyers?
You know, some of the more popular modules we have are what I would consider the more boring ones, the policy-related ones. That if you're trying to draft up a security policy for a company, it's hard to do that. Like, what is supposed to go into my security policy? How am I supposed to create that? So we've had some really interesting content built around that idea. One that we just filmed a few weeks ago, we had Rob Carson from a company called SemperSec. We had him come in and appear on one of our shows to talk about business resumption plans and how to draft those documents and what all is supposed to be in there, how to do a business impact analysis. That stuff, to me, isn't fun and exciting, right? It's this bureaucracy, but it's so important for companies, and there's very little guidance out there for how to draft an effective security policy, an effective business resumption plan. And so we've had content created in those spaces, and it's been very popular.
Look, that makes complete sense to me, actually, because a lot of that stuff, it's so dry and it is actually a little bit more opaque than it should be, right? But once you actually sit down with someone who knows about it and they start walking you through it, it doesn't seem that mysterious anymore.
Yeah, and this is where personality comes in. Rob Carson, who I mentioned, you know, he was a Marine, and he brings that into the presentation. And so he's got a big personality. He's a great guy, easy to listen to. A lot of our edutainers are like that, where they just have a great personality and they're easy to listen to. That really helps people learn.
So what sort of size, like if a security team from a large enterprise generally buys a bunch of seats, I'm guessing they're doing that for the security team? Are there modules for developers as well? Are there general modules for like help desk staff to understand some fundamentals? Like, where are people sort of applying, their subscriptions? Like, to what, which staff are sort of using this after the seats have been bought on bulk, en masse?
So we typically target the IT department. We have training for system administrators, network administrators, the security team. We do have development content, or dev team, engineering, but it's more of a getting into development. And again, it's somewhat targeted towards the system administrators, at least at this time, that if you are administering instances in AWS, you have to know a little bit of development to be able to support that. So we started creating content in those spaces. But we actually do have end user training that's available too, from basic security awareness to Microsoft Office skills, Adobe Creative Suite. A lot of that is wrapped up in it. When people think of IT Pro TV, they don't think of end user training, but we do actually have that in our library.
Now, it's possible for your users to actually do practice exams in a bunch of different topics as well, right? So that they can really go into their real exams feeling prepared.
Sure. Nobody likes to pay for an exam and go in and find out it's way harder than they anticipated it. So we actually offer Trendcenter practice exams as a part of our subscription, so that you're able to get in there, take the exams, and find out whether or not you're ready. And if you're not ready, you find out the areas you're weak in, and you can go back and rewatch those episodes. You can learn. And, having that little extra help is a big benefit. The same thing goes for virtual labs, that if you're trying to learn Linux, you don't necessarily want to format your own computer and throw Linux on there. If this is your first time using it, you're not ready for it. But you can jump into our virtual labs and spin up Linux boxes left and right. Windows Server, right? You don't have to mess around with licenses. Our server's up. We have guided step-by-step labs, or you can just get in there and have fun and mess with our environment, because at the end of the day, if it breaks, it just gets wiped away and a new one is spun right up. So those are all kind of like additional features we offer that help people to be able to get in, practice, and learn.
Now, frankly, I'm surprised that it's taken this long for an online video training, an online technology video training sector to start flourishing. But there are now multiple providers in this space. Is it booming? Because from the outside, it looks like this is an industry sector that's doing quite well.
It is. I think more and more companies are recognizing today that they've got to train their employees. But the old model of flying somebody to a different city and putting them in a hotel room for a week, having them out of the office for a week, that's just not realistic, especially with budget cuts and other things. Online training steps in and solves all those problems. So there's a number of companies that have basically taken the older style instructor-led training and transitioned that into online. And that's why you're seeing this big boom. And some of them are really effective with it. We've gone a slightly different way in that we try and make our content a little more entertaining, a little more personality. And for a lot of people, that resounds well. So it works out great for us. but some people prefer the traditional model. And there's a number of great companies out there that you can leverage to learn that way too. Honestly, the training market is near endless at this point. So there's plenty of room for competition. And so you're seeing some great offerings pop up.
All right, Don Pezet, thank you very much for joining us on Snake Oilers to walk through your offering there at IT Pro TV. And people can check it out. I'll drop a link into the show notes for this episode so people can have a look at your security content. They can maybe sign up for, you know, just one account and then start going through, watching this content, seeing if it's something they want to push through to their staff. Really appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
All right, Patrick, thanks for having me on. It was a real pleasure.
That was Don Pezet of IT Pro TV there talking about their online training stuff. Again, they are using a tracking URL. It is itpro.tv/riskybusiness, one word. So that is itpro.tv/riskybusiness. That is the one you want. And you can sign up for an IT Pro TV account for Teams trial at that URL. And that is it for part one of our August Snake Oilers edition. I'll be back in a couple of days with the regular weekly show. But until then, I've been Patrick Gray. Thanks for listening. We'll